News Radio KONP presents the Todd Ortloff Show. Now, from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
And welcome once again to the program. Going to spend the hour getting caught up with Olympic Medical Center CEO Eric Lewis. Lots to talk about with what's going on in healthcare in general here locally, let alone just what OMC's been involved with and some partnerships and some things even today you heard about on the news that we're going to get into as well. So, Eric, good to see you again. It's been a while, but glad to have you back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
And we were just kind of half joking going on here in that I think in years past we've had you on about this time of the year, and it's been a bit gloomy, I guess.
Yep.
Maybe for the first time in a number of years it's not as gloomy as it used to be, at least financially or at least when we talk about reimbursements and things like that.
Yeah, no, I think the sun's shining and there's some positive things happening in the local healthcare system, and there's definitely reasons to be optimistic.
All right. So we'll get into some of that as we go. We'll just tick through some things. Of course, the legislature just got done a couple of weeks ago, and that's always an interesting time, I think. You probably spend more time in Olympia than you do here when the legislature's in these days, simply because you have to, because
yeah.
Lord knows what's going to happen as far as reimbursements go how you keep OMC somewhat solvent in all of this. So what was the end result? Maybe you can fill us in a bit on what OMC really was kind of hoping to accomplish with the legislature this year, and did it come out okay?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think it, on balance, it came out very positive for the local healthcare system. I think, you know, one big thing the state does is fund Medicaid, mm-hmm. and Medicaid is for low-income individuals, and there's actually 22,000 people in Clallam County that are covered by Medicaid out of 75,000, so that's 30% of our population. So it's a large part of what Olympic Medical Center does, and it currently pays about 70% of cost, which is not a great business model, but to spend a dollar and get 70 cents back. But it's actually our big fear going into the session, because of the complex budget situation the state was in, having to fund schools, would there be enough left over for health care? And the really good news is our Medicaid funding, our budget proviso, mm-hmm. got renewed. And I think it's just fantastic news for Olympic Medical Center and really our community and the people we serve. And I guess I want to thank Senator Kevin Vandewig. He got our Medicaid budget proviso into the Senate budget. And then our Representative Steve Theringer and Representative Mike Chapman guided it into reconciliation, so it was in the final budget. So all three of our elected officials, I think, helped out tremendously, and it was not an easy session. And there was, because of all the money that had to go into schools, which is needed, it wasn't clear there'd be enough for healthcare and other things. Mm-hmm. So it was very complex.
Are you at the same level? I mean, when all said and done, what
yes.
comes out the back end of this for OMC?
At the end of the day, we stay at the same level.
Okay.
And I think that's positive.
Right.
I think we all know we've got to become more efficient in healthcare, and we're trying to do that. I think our ask was not for more money, but keep us the same,
right.
and let us continue to improve what we do.
Well, and I know you have talked with me on this program before that if anything, some predictability is welcomed. Maybe you don't get an increase, but at least you know it's going to stay at a certain level.
That's, yeah, the state budget is funded through June 30 of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me seems forever away, over 2 years. So we have some certainty.
Right.
So we know our funding. And you know, Medicare reimbursement, we don't know what we're going to get paid on.
And that's the next.
On 2020.
Right. And that, I mean, you can almost be month to month in that, the way it's craziness in D.C., certainly. With that said, you know, I think those are astonishing numbers. And we've talked about them before. When you got 22,000 people that are on Medicaid
yep.
in your service area, in a, you know, county of 70 some thousand, that's a lot. Now, the other part of that equation is that a good number of those who aren't in that 22,000 are on Medicare because of the mix that we have. So you have a really large public payer mix in this.
We definitely have one of the highest in the state. There's about 20,000 people on Medicare. But, of course, Medicare individuals, because they're over 65, use more health care. So
right.
about 83% of Olympic Medical Center's patients are on Medicare, Medicaid, or other government program. So that's our big payer is taking care of Medicare, Medicaid, And that's, you know, we like that mission, and it's very important to us.
Is that message getting to legislators, though, appropriately, where they understand? I think the local people do, but, you know, those are only three, basically, at the state level.
I think at the state level, they're very focused. I will say all three of our state legislators were very focused on the local healthcare system, not only in Port Angeles Squim, but also Forks and Port Townsend. Right. And I think they call up, they listen. They ask good questions. So I'm thrilled at the state level. And at the federal level, there's also that equal engagement. I think Representative Kilmer is very focused on healthcare. And our senators, Senator Murray, Senator Cantwell, are. You know, when I'm in Seattle and I tell a hospital administrator that 83% of our patients are Medicare, Medicaid,
their jaw drops,
they apologize to me and say, I'm sorry to hear that. It's like a death in the family.
Yeah.
But I think it's challenging, but I think our medical staff and employees are working hard and trying to get better, and we're doing okay.
It's okay, so let's talk about the federal level of things. Very fluid still. You know, what can you tell us at this point as to how
well,
it's
I think
that
at the federal level, it's very uncertain, and you know, there's wide range of views on where Medicare should go. I think the big thing that affected us last year, of course, was what's called site-neutral reductions. And what that is for many decades, the rules on Medicare was that hospital-based physician clinics could be within 35 miles of the hospital. And from that, we developed the 8th and Vine Clinic and the Squim Campus as hospital-based clinics. They decided to move the 35 miles to 250 yards. That's CMS, which stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They run Medicare. And then on a regulatory basis, they made this change. But they cut the reimbursement for off-campus clinics by 60%, which is cost Olympic Medical Center $3.4 million in 2020.
And then that's another hit coming, though, in the next year, right? Because this is a two-year kind of cut proposal thing before it might get
revisited. Yeah, they phased it in. Fortunately, they only did 30% the first year, so... We're dealing with $1.7 million cut from Medicare this year. But next year is the full meal deal, $3.4 million. So we're gearing up, and I think we'll be ready for it.
How do you approach that, though? One of the things, and when this first went down, I remember there's a big lobbying effort. I think people were a little surprised that perhaps there wasn't a little bit of a – because it's not – it makes sense in an urban area. Yeah. I think if somebody were to look at this, they would go, yeah, that does make sense. But in a rural area, it's tough to get within 250 yards. I mean, you need to have a clinic in Squim, for example, just because of the way you provide service here. We're spread out.
Exactly. And you know, 80% of people live in urban areas, 20% in rural. And most of what Medicare does is very urban-centric. Mm-hmm. So I think when this rule came out, we activated the community, informed them. And what was amazing is out of a little over 3,000 letters nationally, 1,700 came from Clallam County, which is truly amazing. And these were individual. These weren't form letters. Each one was individual. And I can guarantee you CMS that runs Medicare, they know how to say Squim, and they know where Clallam County is. Now, at the end of the day, we didn't carry they didn't listen to us because what we said is you should exclude rural – hospitals from this, but I think it was very helpful, and the battle's not over.
Right.
We lost that war. I guess the war is not over. We lost that one thing, but we're going to continue to advocate for our local community because there's no reason why Squim residents should get paid 60% less than service in Port Angeles by the hospital.
Mm-hmm. The good news in some of this had to do with a little bit of strategic planning. I think you've ended up now having to perhaps ramp up use of your medical office building that was built in an effort to get some things closer to campus, so it will qualify. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, the medical office building in Port Angeles is filling up fast, and by the end of the year, before the 60% cutbacks, it will be as full as it can be. Because that's just what Medicare wants, things within 250 yards of the hospital, which makes zero sense, but it's the rules.
So there's a lawsuit get us up to speed on where things are at, because OMC joined into a lawsuit. It's not just OMC, but really you're one of the partners in this thing, I guess.
The American Hospital Association and three of their members, and we're one of them, filed a lawsuit back in December of 18. And the reason we filed a lawsuit is in 2015, the House and Congress passed a bill, and what they said is we're going to grandfather all existing physician clinics at the 35 mile. Any new ones after November of 15 have to be 250 yards. So the Squim campus and 8th and Vine were grandfathered in. The Republicans controlled the House and Senate. It was bipartisan. President Obama signed it. And then 3 years later, CMS, through a regulatory thing, reversed that decision. And I've read the U.S. Constitution, and CMS is not in it. House and the Senate are,
right.
So is the president.
Yeah, and so you're dealing with law, essentially,
yeah.
And that's really what should be in standing. I mean, it makes some sense that, yeah, if they voted it in, made it an act, so to speak, of Congress, literally.
And there's good bipartisan support for rural health care in Washington, D.C. So the lawsuit was filed, and we've asked for something called summary judgment, which basically says this is so obvious we don't need to go to trial. The judge can just rule. And we've gone back and forth with motions, but now it's in the judge. It's in her. She gets to evaluate our summary judgment motion. Now, she could rule in our favor. In the next 3-4 months, she might say, well, this is very complicated. We need to go to trial. It's going to be a bench trial, so there won't be a jury. Mm-hmm. And I think that the big challenge is the federal government has an army of lawyers. We have really good lawyers. The American Hospital Association has hired, but this is going to take a few years.
Right.
It's just not a quick process.
Yeah. And so with that said, the reason I brought that up is that you need to continue to just soldier on as if this isn't going to be ruled in your favor, and hope for the best when it does come. I mean,
when we look at our budget, we are definitely assuming that it will be permanent.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because we had $15 million of construction scheduled for the Squim campus. Squim is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went forward with about $5 million for the cancer center expansion, but we have delayed a primary care expansion and a surgery center build-out.
For this very reason, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we have to – because you borrow money to do construction, and you might borrow it for 20 years. If you don't have any certainty on revenue and it got cut by 60%, which is way below costs, we had to delay. I think if we can prevail on this lawsuit or somehow get this reversed, we would immediately look for Squim campus expansion.
And again, it's really a double shot for OMC, a double hit because of the payer mix that you have.
Yep.
You have so many of your clientele because of our demographics here are on Medicare anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a 60% reduction on top of the fact that that's a grand majority of your payer mix.
Yeah, over 60% of our patients are paid by Medicare. So, you know, if Medicare cuts, we feel it a lot. In fact, of all the rural hospitals in Washington, Olympic Medical Center was number one in its financial negative impact.
Wow.
Just because we have a large campus in Squim.
Right. Now, I know that the board of directors and staff have, you're dedicated to keeping the facility running in Squim. It's not that there's going to be a shutdown of the Squim campus, per se, because there's a need for it still.
Yeah, our board's been very clear since day one. We're going to maintain all services in Squim. And I think we're not going to be able to expand as much as we wanted to, but we have 8 clinics in Squim, from the cancer center to the heart center, sleep center, orthopedics, primary care, pediatrics, walk-in clinic, specialty clinic with many specialties. We're going to maintain all those just because our patients deserve local access. And what we've done is the $3.4 million reduction is going to be, we're going to figure out as a whole organization, including the hospital, and we're going to all cut a little. I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's going to be challenging. Yeah. But we're not going to just cut the services because we're a nonprofit governmental entity. But we have to balance the books at the end of the day.
And as we go to the break, I want you to address this as well, because you are a taxing district, quote unquote. Although the tax, the public money that you have that comes in doesn't cover. I mean, most people think that's your whole budget. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, Olympic Medical Center, we are a public hospital district. We're owned by the public. We have publicly elected board members that serve six-year terms, seven of them. But about 2% of our budget comes from tax levy. 98% of our budget comes from
fees, charging, really, charges, fee, yeah.
Charges
yeah.
for our services. But that 2% is huge. It does three things that are really huge. One, we have a trauma level 3 emergency department, which means we have 24/7 a trauma team available, which includes orthopedic surgeon, general surgeon, and many other caregivers. You never want to have to use a trauma level 3 service, but everybody should know it's there 24/7.
Yeah.
And the tax levy helps us keep that. We also have to we also deliver about 500 babies a year, and doing that safely, the tax levy helps support our birth center, which is about 70% Medicaid patients. And then the other thing we do is we have about $5 million of uncompensated care a year. So it helps us serve everybody, every local resident, whether they're uninsured or don't have an ability to pay.
Right.
So it's what the public does for our hospital is greatly appreciated. It makes a big difference.
Has there ever been any thought of raising the tax levy rate to try to make up some of this difference that's needed? Or it seems like it's such a big number. I don't know if you could even do that.
Well, I think currently the public supports us with about 50 cents per thousand per year. So a $200,000 house pays about $100 a year, mm-hmm. which is very helpful. But I think our commissioners do not want to ask for more taxes. I think schools seem to be a priority, particularly around capital and buildings. And there's other needs in the community. So we're trying to... Back in 2008, the community gave us a very nice increase in our levy, and we're trying to live within our means and not go for taxes.
All right. You mentioned cutting across the whole organization. A lot of folks are going to say, wow, well, what does that mean? Is there enough there to cut? You know, at some point,
I think what we're trying to do is become more efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to keep all our employees. I mean, we have... over 1,500 employees now. So we've grown a lot, and we need every one of them. So what we're going to do is if you have employees and they currently see, let's say, they do 20 tests a day, if we can become more efficient and do 21 tests, that makes us 5% more efficient. So what we're going to do is increase access and try to reduce the cost per unit. And that will balance our equation. And I think our employees are working hard. There's always things you could do better. And I think by growing, we're going to be able to naturally become more efficient, and we can absorb this $3.4 million cut throughout our budget.
It's a lot of elephant eating, it sounds like. You know, you don't do it in one bite. It's a little bit at a time.
Exactly. I mean, we talk about little things, because if you can do something – to improve this process and you save $5,000, well, that starts adding up very quickly. And our employees are very engaged. We're working hard, and I'm optimistic that we can make this all work in 2020.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get off all of this stuff, and we're going to talk about some things that are coming, some things making the news recently, and some other things related to OMC. So we have the CEO of Olympic Medical Center, my guest this hour, Eric Lewis, joining us. And we'll talk more with Eric right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
There's no place like home.
And when it's irrigation festival time, there truly is no place like home. The 124th Squim Irrigation Festival is here, with this year's theme being, there's no place like home. Let's take a walk down the yellow brick road and find out what's happening at home.
It's the grand finale weekend. So far, we've seen kids in costumes at the Kids Parade, shopped the merchants at the Arts and Crafts Fair, caught the epic production of Legally Blonde at the high school, and viewed art from artists all over the area.
This weekend is the main event. The carnival opens Thursday. Rides, food, and fun are on tap for all who go.
Friday is a big day with the golf tournament being held at Cedars at Dungeness. The Logging Show, one of the biggest elements of the Irrigation Festival, will start on Friday at 10 a.m. down on Blake Avenue. That night, make sure to go watch the Strongman Showdown from 6 to 8 p.m., where the world's strongest men compete in the competitions that you have to see to believe. Stick around for the huge fireworks display that starts at 9:30.
Then Saturday is the day. The Grand Parade starts at noon. This year's parade hosts 107 entries and is even grander than last year. For a full list of events going on this week and into the weekend, please log on to irrigationfestival.com. We hope to see you out and about in downtown Sequim.
Radio Pacific is proud to be a media sponsor for the Sequim Irrigation Festival, the longest continuous festival in the state of Washington. For a full list of the dozens of sponsors who support this amazing event, log on to irrigationfestival.com.
Sequim's 124th Irrigation Festival is bigger than ever, proving once again,
there's no place like home.
Have you been in Easy Pond East lately? If not, make it a point to stop in and see all of their new merchandise soon. And if you can't seem to find the time to stop by, you can check out all of their great items online. Just visit buya.com. That's BUYA.com. A pawn shop only website where you can simply find your favorite pawn shop and browse their items right online. Almost everything in store you can find online at buya.com. Check it out and see what new items Easy Pond East has for you.
Have you heard the news? Leeds Farm Supply is now your local LS tractor dealer. We have a variety of sizes in stock now, like the all-new MT125. This 25-horsepower tractor is set up to handle the toughest jobs on the farm with a hydrostatic transmission and four-wheel drive. You can get into those tight and tough places. Price is starting at only $13,400. Or check out our XJ2025, which will get you more power and a larger frame. Stop on by and talk with our sales team to learn more. See us at 259-110 Highway 101 in Sequim.
Addiction. Clinically, it's the fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity. Physically, it's scary and exhausting. Drugs, alcohol, food, sex, gambling, shopping, anything can become addictive. And it can take hold of you before you realize it. Don't feel alone and helpless. Call the caring leaders of Celebrate Recovery and break free from those chains. It's free, faith-based, non-judgmental, and confidential. Call 360-808-3306 for more information.
May is Home Improvement Month. KONP Radio, along with the experts at Angeles Millwork and Lumber Company and Hartnagel Building Supply, have some helpful advice for the projects you're planning.
A great place to start is to know when to do it yourself and when you should hire a contractor. The main reason to do it yourself is to save money on labor, which is usually the biggest expense in any home project. Safety is the first thing to pay attention to. If the project could kill or injure you, potentially destroy a part of your house, or if it needs a permit, the obvious answer would be to go with a licensed and insured professional. YouTube is a great resource, accessible right on your smartphone with easy step-by-step instructions on how to do a multitude of home improvement projects. Finally, be patient with yourself. There is always a learning curve, and learning usually requires making some mistakes and small failures to get it right. Have your tools and materials ready at your side, and don't forget to celebrate the small successes as you move through the project. The big advantage of doing it yourself is that it doesn't carry a big price tag, and the pride in seeing a job you did yourself. As you tackle your project, remember to stop by your local and employee-owned stores, Angeles Millwork and Lumber Company, and Hartnagel Building Supply, building homes, building communities since 1906.
The experts are standing by to help during Home Improvement Month and all year round at Angeles Millwork and Lumber Company and Hartnagel Building Supply.
Your fix comes first at First Race.
For some people, their car is their most prized possession. Show you care with a gift certificate for high-quality Union 76 gas and car washes from First Race Car Wash. Gift certificates start at $5. First Race Car Wash at First and Race.
You're a winner every time. When you've got that First Race shine.
Ooh, your finish comes first at First Race. Happening now in Colorado, reports of a school shooting in Highland Park. Police say there are multiple victims and two suspects are in custody with officers still engaging a third. It happened, police say, at STEM School Highlands Ranch, formerly known as STEM School Academy. Sixth grader Christian had this to say.
I was doing work in the study hall and then I see just a bunch of kids running out and saying, school shooter, and I'm like, what is this? Real or fake, and then I just go after them.
ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
A law enforcement official told ABC News multiple people have been shot at a science-oriented school in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Two suspects were said to be in custody, and police were engaging a third. Police were clearing the school floor by floor, but said they no longer needed additional officers. Medical triage had been set up on the north side of the school.
Again, this story happening now, the school shooting in Highland Park, Colorado. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Here is your AccuWeather forecast. This afternoon, partly sunny and mild, high 67. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, low 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and mild, high 69. Clear tomorrow night with a low of 50. For Thursday, mostly sunny and warm, high 71. Mainly clear Thursday night, low 51. For Friday, lots of sunshine with a high of 74. For AccuWeather, I'm Cheryl Golden.
All right, Derek Lewis, my guest. He is the CEO for Olympic Medical Center. We've been talking about some legislative things and some budgetary things, but you may have been following the news today, in which OMC is part of this as well. But really, a bigger issue, the Jamestown Sklallam Tribe, in partnership with the local hospitals, I'll just say all of them, because Forks, Port Townsend, also OMC, are all involved with this thing, and that's a development of what's going to be a behavioral health campus in Sequim. It'll be run by the Jamestown Sklallam Tribe, developed by, but really in partnership with all of them. And really, this is built on a pretty large grant that came out of the state legislature, and this is couched into the state legislature's re-envisioning of how to deal with mental health issues and addiction issues across the state, and this is just one of those. And Eric, I think this is really some pretty big news in the next couple of years, because it's going to open up a whole different set of treatments options for folks that need it, right?
Yeah, this is huge. I think society's problems around mental health and addiction are huge. And the state of Washington is increasing funding, and our local state representatives, Representative Theringer, Representative Chapman, and Senator VandeWeg, have really partnered with the three local hospitals, Peninsula Behavioral Health, with Jamestown Sklallam Tribe leading this. And there's really two phases that are planned so far. It will grow over time. But the first phase I'm really excited about. Jamestown received a $7.2 million grant, capital grant, to build the building to have what's called a medically assisted treatment center for opioid and heroin addicts. And what this will provide is medical assistance for their addiction, which stabilizes them. And then they're also going to have physical health, mental health, and dental health services in this building. So you stabilize the person's health. But more important, after that, it's going to have housing services, job services, social determinants. Mm-hmm. How do you get food? How do you figure out how are you going to earn a living? Where are you going to live? And I think it really allows the homeless heroin addict that is probably robbing and stealing daily.
Yeah, just to get by, right? Yeah.
Get them off that treadmill and onto treatment and heading a positive direction. So I think it'll be based in Sequim, but it'll treat patients in Port Angeles, Forks, Port Townsend. They'll be bussed in on vans. They'll go through their treatment every day. This is 7 days a week, and they'll take the van right back where their home is. So I think it's going to be a real positive. It's going to make our community safer. It's going to help the individuals that are really struggling with a very intense addiction. And I'm excited about it, and I think they're going to be starting construction probably. Certainly maybe later this year, but I think it's going to be open by 2021. And to me, this is exciting and a whole new service for our community.
Now, obviously this was kind of pitched to the legislature as something that's going to go into, I guess, two questions. One, is there some advantages to the tribe being the lead agency in this? I would think there might be, just because of it they being a tribe, they get some federal changes and some things like that. And then secondly, you know, how, this model obviously was kind of decided upon by all of these partners as, yep. as this is an appropriate thing to do. So maybe take us
through that. I think this is a great model. I think the reimbursement that Jamestown can receive is sustainable. Right. They can serve all the tribes in our region, which is, you know, there's maybe 8 tribes in the 3-county area. But I think also Jamestown has proven to be a great healthcare provider. They have an excellent primary care clinic, and I know they're going to do this in a very positive way. And they're really looking at a community problem and how can they help solve it. I think the 3 hospitals and others are all going to work with them. But they're going to do a very good job on this, and I think it's a model that we've seen in other tribes and other communities do. So it's a partnership model that moves the community forward.
Now, for Olympic Medical Center, this gets up and operating. How does this affect OMC and its operations? Does this help, you know, alleviate some issues at the hospital here, for example?
Oh, yeah. It helps It helps the hospital immensely. We're dealing with heroin addiction on a daily basis in our emergency room, in our inpatient services. So if we can catch people when they're in our ED or in our inpatient, when we discharge them, if we can get them onto a service, if we can get them going the right direction, because a lot of these patients come to the ED often, our readmissions.
There's a revolving door at times just because that's how the system kind of works, doesn't it? Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be very positive for the hospital. I'm excited about how it will help Squim and Port Angeles. I think it's going to reduce crime. I think it's going to help us get these people with a serious addiction moving in a positive direction and actually contributing positively to society.
Right. Now, phase 2 is also going to be an effective addition as well. Now, they were talking about kind of the opioid and heroin treatment side of things as the first thing out. But then the next part of that's going to be to add an inpatient psychiatric facility, which we've talked around circles about. This is very badly needed here as well. This is the kind of the mental health component of this.
Yeah, phase 2 is very exciting to me, and it will serve both Clallam and Jefferson counties. It's a 16-bed inpatient psychiatric hospital. Jamestown will own it, and they have a sustainable reimbursement model. Olympic Medical Center will operate it, and I think the advantages are by being partners together, we can make it more sustainable and do a better job. But it'll be a huge change in our delivery system, because right now, you know, people that are, let's say, suicidal, they come to our emergency room and there's something called involuntary treatment act. Mm-hmm. We have to get them care. It can take days or weeks to get them placed in an inpatient facility for the care they need.
And it's not necessarily here either. I mean, this is
out of Clallam County, because there are no beds in Clallam County, and they get stuck at the hospital, and we have to. We're not an inpatient psych hospital.
I was just going to say you're not a psychiatric hospital. I mean,
so
you're
challenging for our nurses and our care teams and our physicians. So now with this, once this opens up, we'll be able to have a van right from our emergency department to this 16-bed facility. They'll immediately start getting the treatment they need. Yeah. And it's exciting. The phase 1 is funded, phase 2 is not funded yet. So in the 2020 legislative session, we have to make a capital request of probably in the $7 to $8 million range. But our 3 local representatives are very focused on this. Right. And I think they really want it to happen because they know it'll help so many people.
I think it kind of fits a bit of the theme in what the state has been hoping to do, and that is to get away from these large regional, you know, Western State Hospital, Eastern State Hospital model of things, and get these into smaller, more regionalized, and I mean by, you know, county by county or shared county facilities.
Yeah,
that is kind of what this would be.
Yeah, this is a much better model. I think it will really help our community, and I think it being shipped, you know, way far away. It can be very burdensome, but I think having a dedicated campus to behavioral health issues is really going to be a big positive thing for our community.
Explain to folks why. I mean, I'm sure you get this. People say, well, why doesn't OMC just open up a psychiatric wing?
Sure.
It's not that easy, right?
Well, it's not that easy. First of all, you'd never want to start a service that's not sustainable.
Right.
And hospitals like Olympic Medical Center get paid very low for inpatient psych services. But second, you need space. You know, you need places for recreation. You need outdoor space. So we don't really have the space, and it's not an optimal location because hospitals aren't noisy, right? So I think this having a 16-bed facility in a behavioral health campus will be very positive for our community and more sustainable because having Jamestown as the lead partner on this is going to be very positive.
All right. So a couple of phases. One is going to take more lobbying, obviously, that second part. But the first part is going to go as soon. And I think basically we're just waiting to sign the property deal from what I understand with the Jamestown folks.
The property deal's in process. And I think there'll be phase three and phase four. There'll be more outpatient mental health services and addiction services. And I think Peninsula Behavioral Health is going to be involved, you know, obviously all three hospitals. It's going to be a big positive for our community. And I think it will make us safer and more secure by dealing with these issues, getting them off our streets, and helping people get well.
And a lot of this is a collaborative effort, and this is kind of I don't want to say it hasn't happened, but it certainly seems like there's a whole lot more of this that we have to approach whatever the vehicle of care we're trying to do in a collaborative way anymore. You can't do it one off.
Yeah, I think the opioid addiction, mental health issues requires everybody to help solve. And I think the great news is the state of Washington's bringing some funding to the table, and our local state representatives are doing a great job putting together proposals with key partners that that make a lot of sense to the legislature, and they funded this. I think it'll be outstanding for our community.
All right. Eric Lewis is my guest. He is the CEO for Olympic Medical Center. We'll be back, talk another segment with him right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Les Schwab is proud to introduce two of our best tires ever, just in time for summer. There's our exclusive Open Range AT that we believe is the quietest, smoothest, and best all-season traction tire we've ever offered. Or the Reputation, our exclusive high-mileage premium passenger tire, all with the warranty we've stood behind for over 65 years at no extra charge. Book an appointment at LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing matters. Limited warranty conditions apply. For details, visit LesSchwab.com.
Go local. With three locations on the peninsula and online options, you can start near and go far at Peninsula College. Get your high school diploma or job training, start here and transfer to a university, or stay here and earn an applied bachelor's degree. Peninsula College can help you get where you want to go. Apply today for summer or fall classes. Go to pencol.edu. That's pencol.edu.
Time to get ready.
Lace them up.
For the 17th Annual North Olympic Discovery Marathon. Squim to Port Angeles along the Discovery Trail. It's one of the most scenic courses anywhere. Thousands of runners from across the country
and around the world
will run the course. Marathon weekend is June 1st and 2nd. There's the full or half marathon, marathon walk, marathon relay, 10K, 5K, and kids marathon.
Find all of the details at NODM.com.
Volunteers play a vital role marathon weekend. You, your friends, your organization can get involved. All volunteers receive a t-shirt, a wonderful lunch,
and 1,000 thank yous.
Sign up to be one of the 600 marathon volunteers. Go to NODM.com and click volunteer. Race day is fast approaching. Sign up now to take part.
June 1st and 2nd,
the North Olympic Discovery Marathon, presented by First Federal.
Also sponsored in part by KONP.
Complete details available now at NODM.com.
Are you interested in learning how to pray and bring healing to your life and others? International speaker Nate Frederick, an international speaker and practitioner of Christian Science Healing, will give a talk titled Learn to Pray and Heal, a Spiritual Adventure, on Saturday, May 18th at 2 p.m. The talk will be held in the Quality Inn and Suites at 134 River Road, Squim. Come hear how to put faith, spiritual understanding, and unselfed love into practice and transform lives.
your favorite spot and mine now offers full-service catering. Nextdoor Gastropub has customizable menu options, including their food trailer. They're sure to be able to meet your needs and will travel. They rent flatware, plates, and linens as well. For more information, contact Jake at jacoboppelt@gmail.com or give him a call, 360-808-2114. That's 360-808-2114. Nextdoor Gastropub. Eat, drink, gather.
All right, one more segment. Eric Lewis, he is the CEO at Olympic Medical Center. It's always great to talk with him about kind of the bigger picture things happening with the primary health care provider here in our region, and lots going on, as you've heard in the first bit. One of the things, too, that, and we've talked about this in the past, is that I think OMC has really gone on the last number of years, really a very concerted effort to stick to its strategic plan and to really, kind of have firm direction. Now, that said, it's tough to do when you have things like CMS doing its stunts and some things like that as well. But what's going on with the strategic plan, and what might be some of the grand vision that OMC is kind of looking at right now in the next number of years?
Yeah, one of our big responsibilities of our board is to develop a strategic plan, and then my job is to implement it. And we take it very seriously, and we spend a lot of time on it. We last updated our strategic plan in the fall of 17, which is only 18 months ago, but the world has changed so much, it's kind of hard to even remember the fall of 17. So what we're doing is we're in the process of updating our strategic plan. And our strategic plan drives our operating budget, our capital budget. It really drives what I do. If you look at my calendar and and how we go about our business at OMC, we're implementing our strategic plan and doing daily operations. But the big thing in our strategic plan is we get input. And, you know, if I walk into Safeway, I get input. So we listen to our patients and community. We had community forums in Joyce, Port Angeles, and Squam. We have input from employees, input from our medical staff. But by the third Wednesday in June, we plan to have a new strategic plan for the board to consider approval. The board has a strategic planning committee, which we're working hard on. The three board members on that are working hard. I think the big five things I just want to mention that we're really going to focus on, number one is emergency department wait times. We've definitely heard feedback that we want better access in the ED. So we're doing revisions to space and process and personnel in the emergency department, and I think that's going to be very positive. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to have an immediate care. We currently have a walk-in clinic. It closes at 6 p.m. So we're looking at going into the evenings and having what we're going to call immediate care. So if you need immediate primary care or need immediate services, but you don't really need to go to the emergency department, we're going to create more access. So the goal is to give people options and to reduce wait times.
And that would be something that's somewhat between what the walk-in clinic is and the emergency department might be, right?
Yeah, it'd be in between the walk-in clinic and the emergency department. Okay. And I think if we go to 10, 11 o'clock at night, it will provide a lot of access. And, you know, the emergency department is a triage system. So the walk-in clinic or the intermediate care is a queuing system, first come, first serve. In the emergency department, if you're the lowest, if you're the least sick,
you're the last to serve. Right. Yeah.
So you can wind up with hours wait, and those people need care, and so I think we're going to create more avenues for them to get care. And I'm excited about we have an awesome team in the emergency department, and we're going to keep moving that forward. We're going to focus on primary care access. We're going to not only Olympic Medical physicians, but also North Olympic Healthcare Network and Jamestown all working together for primary care access. Olympic Medical Physicians is going to work on patient access and engagement, how we make patient appointments and make that process better. We are going to expand inpatient beds. We currently have 67 inpatient beds. Four of them are doubles. So one of the big things our patients have told us, sharing a inpatient room with another patient is not very satisfying. So we're going to go with all single rooms and probably increase our beds to about 75 or 80, because we run out of a type of bed. We have medical surgical beds, intensive care beds, birthing beds. So if we can add more beds, we'll make sure we have the right bed available for our community. We're also looking at inpatient hospice beds. So I think we're working that. The second thing, the last thing I just wanted to mention is in surgery, we want to increase the amount of surgery capacity by increasing the number of operating rooms and maybe adding a endoscopy room. So we just want to increase what the hospital can do, improve processes, really focus on reducing wait times and access.
We mentioned, you were just talking about beds and expansion. That's technically an expansion. However, you're not talking about a footprint expansion of the hospital campus.
Yeah, the good news is we have areas in the hospital that are currently not used for inpatient, which could be used for inpatient, mainly 2 East and 3 East. So we're looking at how best to use those areas, and we want to make sure that we have enough inpatient beds for our community.
Now, is there staffing then issues that come with that too? You start open that up to being inpatient. You got to have full-time nursing. You got to have all sorts of things that come with that.
Yeah, staffing I think is key. I mean, from hospitalists, you know, physicians that work in the hospital to our RNs to our certified nursing assistants. We need a big team. So as the inpatient service gets busier. We're definitely hiring.
Certainly it's been a need, though. It sounds like the hospital stays pretty full. I mean, you've got a lot. This is probably why it's in the strategic plan, is that it's obvious there's probably not. I mean, some days are better than others. But
yeah, we definitely stay busy. I mean, when I came to work one time during the snow back in February, we had 74 patients. And we only have 67 inpatients. So we had some patients in the short stay unit.
Do the math on that, right?
Yeah, that got my attention.
Exactly.
But mainly because it was difficult to discharge people during the snow.
They could have probably gone home, but you couldn't get them home, right?
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't get...
The other problem is we're kind of growing here a little bit, too, and the demographics being what they are, that does put pressure on the hospital.
Yeah, when we look at the strategic plan, we're looking 10, 20 years down the road, and we want to have the inpatient beds for the next decade. Because you don't do construction projects very often. And so I think as we grow as a community and, you know, as we age, I mean, as the baby boomers hit the healthcare system, they're using more healthcare. So we just need to make sure we have the right amount of facilities and staffing for our community.
All right, let's talk about one construction thing that's going on in there. That is expansion at the cancer center down in Sequim. You mentioned that that was... Regardless of the CMS decision, the decision by the board was we're going to continue on with that.
Yeah, the Cancer Center in Sequim is a strategic priority for us, and what we really needed was we needed a new pharmacy to adequately deal with chemo medications, but we also needed a bigger medical oncology and bigger chemotherapy space. So that construction project is going right now. Steel is up, and it'll be done in early 2020, and we're very excited to give our... great care team at the Cancer Center, adequate space to take care of our patients.
And it is interesting because this is a capital project that's also being helped along by some donations.
What's been incredible is the Olympic Medical Center Foundation. Right. I asked them to do a capital campaign, and we originally were thinking $500,000, and then Bill Littlejohn, who's the chairman of that, said, no, we'll do $1 million. Well, so far we've raised $1.2
million. Yeah.
So it's been fantastic. The support of the community has just been really overwhelming, and it really helped our board feel good about moving forward because it's a broad right. support.
All right, tell us a little bit about the central sterile processing expansion. Although that sounds like a sterile's topic, pun intended, but this is pretty important actually in the world of
infection control in healthcare and hospitals is job one, and we spend a lot of time on it. But we are in the basement of our hospital is our central sterile processing department. And we're going to make it quite a bit bigger, about three times as big, really set us up for the coming decades. But we're getting additional and redundant equipment, and this will just make us be able to quickly and efficiently and appropriately sterilize everything we use. So we're excited about it. You know, you have to be a hospital
person. Gotta be kind of a hospital geek to really get into this. But boy, if you're a patient, you're probably glad that's happening down
there. Yeah, making sure we're killing all the germs is priority one. So this is about a $5 million project. It's not trivial, but it will set us up for the coming decades.
All right. Lots going on. We could probably go for hours and hours, but Eric, it's always great to have you on. Thanks for getting us up to speed on what's happening with OMC.
Well, thanks for having me. All right. Good to be here.
All right. Exciting times. Eric Lewis, the CEO for Olympic Medical Center, my guest this afternoon. We'll take a quick break, and we'll check in with ABC News coming up next. Stick around.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Look, let's separate the facts from all of the pizza myths that are out there. Fact, Domino's Pizza is the cheesiest, tastiest pizza that ever came out of an oven. Fact, Domino's is offering a large two-topping pizza with a 14-piece order of chicken for only $17.99. Fact, you can get two large two-topping pizzas delivered for only $9.99 each. Fact, a hot, delicious Domino's is waiting now at 452-4222 or online at dominoes.com. Fact, you want Domino's now. Look, let's separate the facts from all of the pizza myths that are out there. Fact, Domino's Pizza is the cheesiest, tastiest pizza that ever came out of an oven. Fact, Domino's is offering a large two-topping pizza with a 14-piece order of chicken for only $17.99. Fact, you can get two large two-topping pizzas delivered for only $9.99 each. Fact, a hot, delicious Domino's is waiting now at 452-4222 or online at dominoes.com. Fact, you want Domino's now.
If you want to see and hear a truly great cover band, Gold Digger is a group of extremely talented musicians who collectively change the way people experience live music. On Saturday, May 18th, Seven Cedars Casino hosts this fantastic show in Club 7. This is not your average cover band. As soon as Gold Digger hits the stage, the energy and flow of the music is nonstop all night long. Gold Digger at Seven Cedars Casino, Saturday, May 18th at 9 p.m. For more information on this and other events, visit sevencedarsresort.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. Welcome aboard. If you glance out the windows of the aircraft, you'll see we're flying over one of the jewels of Western Washington, Fairmount Shell. You've probably heard about Shell's quality gas and automotive products. Fairmount Shell also has convenient groceries, cold drinks, and delicious hot deli snacks. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Better than these dumb peanuts. Tell you what, I think I can lay this big bird down right there on the highway. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going in for a landing to Fairmount Shell, west of Port Angeles on 101.
EBT accepted.
The Logging Show, one of the biggest events at the Squim Irrigation Festival, starts this Friday at high noon. Here's what's happening this weekend at the 31st Annual Logging Show in Squim.
Be on Blake Avenue in Squim Friday at noon for the start of the Logging Show. The day starts out with truck and tractor pulls and amazing chainsaw carving demonstrations from noon to 6. Be on hand and watch as pieces of wood are transformed into stunning works of art. The strongman competition starts at 4. Watch as the world's strongest men compete in events like the axle lift, the arm over arm truck pull, log press, tire flip, stone stack, deadlift, and car lift. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. Make sure to check out the beer garden on site too. It'll be open from 4 to 10.
For a full list of events happening this weekend at the 124th Squim Irrigation Festival, log on to irrigationfestival.com. Radio Pacific is proud to be a media sponsor for another community event.
News Radio KONP, Port Angeles, Squim, FM 101.7 and 101.3.